Hi there, and welcome to Hell. It is the last episode of the current 2022-23 Zweite Bundesliga season, and things ended up not too shabby after all. We were promised a hint of glory. We came so close, but ended up so far. But it ended a damn sight better than Haasfar, hopefully. So let's take a look at what we've got coming up. So, Luke, you were at the game. Gunnar, you were at the game. I was squashed into a studio covering the game and doing things wrong. I think it's the worst one I've done in a while. I finished off literally saying, oh, it looks like Haasfar have gone up. Heidenheim in the playoff places. Ciao, see you next season. 2 minutes later, things took a turn.
That's the curse of the commentator, isn't it? I think that means you're fully fledged professional commentator now that you've had the curse.
I'd like to take some credit for like jinxing effectively Haasfar. That's how I'm structuring it. So yeah, it's a nice way to sign off the season by saying Haasfar in the Bundesliga next year.
That might have been the best bit of the whole day, huh, Gunnar?
Oh, it was fantastic. When the stadium found out like the game was still on, because you couldn't hear it over the tannoy. I think they said it was 2-2 in the Heidenheim game, and then I think she said, but they're still playing, but that didn't really reach the supporters. And then at some point they showed a goal on the big screen, and then I was like, I didn't know, was that from the Heidenheim game? But what are we seeing here? And then it slowly filtered through that they made it 3-2 and what was it, 99th minute or so. And yeah, that was a big roar through the stadium.
It's because it must have been because there was so much out of time. That's why there was so much confusion in the stadium, because I didn't have a clue what was going on. Because they also showed the 2-2 on the board, you know, whenever they do the results after the match. So I just assumed that was final, and it was all done and dusted. And plenty of Haasfar supporters thought the same thing. They were pouring onto the pitch that those videos are just, oh my God, they're bliss injected straight into my veins. The look of disappointment on their faces, it just doesn't get any better than that. Like the absolute thrill, the agony just happening in a split second. It's just unbeatable.
Gunnar and I were talking earlier, there's a German word for it even, right? So we can...
Schadenfreude.
There you go. So we are straight up in Schadenfreude mode. And the thing is, though, as well, I mean, they scored a penalty in the 93rd minute, and then Kleindienst, of all people, in the 99th minute, getting that winner. So, yeah, I mean, credit to Heidenheim. I mean, I know that we're not here to talk about Heidenheim per se, but they certainly brought a smile to our faces on the very, very last kick of the Zweite Bundesliga. So hats off.
Yeah, it almost got as big a cheer as Packer's goal for St. Pauli. It was a mix of confusion and sheer delight. But no, it was class. What did you make of the match in general, Gunnar?
Well, it was a great day for it. It's like it was on the Sunday, great weather. I think we normally are a bit early to the game anyway and just have a few pints outside the ground, but... this time we weren't the only ones having the same idea. It was quite busy before the game, I thought. Proper end of season feel to it, really. I think Fanladen was completely overrun. Normally I go in and buy stickers, but there were so many people by the time we got there. And it was like 2.5 hours to kick off, and it was just like super, super busy already. Game was sometimes a bit tough to watch, I thought.
It's very pedestrian. It felt like a testimonial game or something.
Yeah, afterwards I found out that the Karlsruhe manager had kind of said like this was going to be the first game of the next season, and they were trying out some new stuff and like how to react if you don't have the ball as much. And yeah, they really didn't have the ball as much and let it happen. There was a few times Medic just standing on the ball at like the center circle, and the fella behind me like screaming in my ear for like the whole 90 minutes, just go, no one's coming. And like, fucking hell, man, just calm down, man. It's like, very, very pedestrian. And then they get the first goal after, I think it's our corner, and then they just counter, which they are very good at. But I think we were sleeping a little bit. Hartl doesn't really follow his man. Saliakis doesn't, like, he doesn't play the man on offside, so... Vasil slips just before the player takes a shot. It was all a bit like, not.
We nearly scored from that corner as well. Yeah. Was it a Metz?
Metz, exactly.
But then he was out of position. And I think you just mentioned that Gunnar Hartl was tracking back. Got bored at some point, I think. Didn't really hand the man over. Just like, yeah, fuck it. And it's a great through ball from the left winger. And yeah, threw on goal and absolutely pile drived it past Fasil. He did.
In fairness, if Saliakas had stepped up, then it would have been offside. But even he didn't do it. So I don't know. Maybe that was just a bit of miscommunication between him and the rest of the midfield and defense there coming back. But yeah, because it's the last game and there wasn't much to play for, I don't really care. It's what it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was the dying seconds of the first half too. And as you said, it's like 23 degrees or something in the scorching sun. So probably looking forward to getting in and having a nice Apfelschorle or something to refresh.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't watch much of the game at the weekend. We were rolling like 20 deep with the amount of people we were going to the stadium with. That might have been a record for our group of mates, which also meant that anytime somebody went for a beer, they came back like a Christmas tree with fucking seven in each hand, and it just got a bit ridiculous at one stage. Like, you're just got four beers on the go at one stage, and everyone was just delighted to be there and having the crack. So I was constantly just chatting to people rather than watching the match, and then you'd hear the crowd get a bit livelier and you'd swing around and just catch the back end of a chance. But it didn't really bother me. You know, we went in knowing that it was inconsequential. And just as you said, the way the match was going, it was clear that it wasn't going to be much of a classic. But
I mean, there's one obviously with Paka getting his goal. Like, he was trying constantly for long range shots. I think anytime he was within scope of goal or even out of scope, he's still shooting or trying to get an assist, like firing it into Jacko in the first half, at least before he went off at halftime. But it's good that he got his goal because, yeah, he deserved it. And it's well taken. Little drag back kind of roll across his body and then turn and shoot. So, yeah, it's nice. It's a nice little sign off.
Yeah, that was a nice wrinkle to the match. Like, I'm glad if that's someone who's leaving got on the score sheet. But today, or that match wasn't really about the football, was it? It was more about, you know, end of season party, saying farewell to a few players. I think you could even maybe say the players were in a bit of the same mindset because there wasn't the same intensity that we're used to in this second half of the season, but can completely forgive them for that.
Any insights into why Jacko went off at halftime? Was he injured or?
He was injured, yeah. Limping pretty bad. Yeah. And he's not one to over-exaggerate an injury. So I think we said to each other in the stands, like, oh, this must be bad. And he's got some big friendlies coming up for Australia. They're playing. Has this been announced yet, the China one? Okay, I'll keep it shtim then. Just in case.
Because I thought he'd gone off to organise the after party or something, like he's getting the sausage rolls and stuff set up. Evidently not.
But if it does mean that he can't play in the friendlies, he might get a extra week or so on holiday, so it's not all bad. But yeah, I think he was disappointed, you know, going through a whole season without picking up anything major. I mean, he's been in the wars a few times. He's been on the end of some bad tackles and elbows and the likes, but never a serious injury.
And a World Cup where he traveled to play in some crazy climate and played every game for Australia, right? So he's not really had a break.
Is it a thigh strain or something like that? Possibly.
After the game, he said something with his calf, but obviously only saw the doctor the day after, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he got his bag back. That's the main thing.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to elaborate?
Yeah, well, I saw the tweet or the Instagram message or whatever where he's saying that it's someone who's kindly picked up my bags. I suspected Gunnar, I'm not going to lie, picking up the bags and walking off. But you got them back. Gunnar was saying before, so that's all right.
There were a few shady characters at after party Gunnar.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. Are we going to talk about this?
Because go for it.
I don't know. We were standing up. Do you know in Knus when you stand up on like the balcony kind of thing? And there was a few faces that like we hadn't seen before, and like some fella just like drowned, like he threw beer at us and fucking showed a middle finger, and she was like, "Well, who the fuck are you? Like, what's going on, man?"
And why are you so angry?
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like, why? End of season party.
We're all enjoying ourselves here, you know.
Chill out. Bullshit. Maybe he mistook you for someone else and just saw a dude with a beard and he was like, fuck that guy.
maybe it's your neighbor or something. He's really pissed off. Like, you keep recording podcasts at stupid o'clock in the evening. although today's the daytime one, so that's all right. But yeah. All right. Well
I remember what he looks like. So if I see him again, I'll get him back. Nah, but like I want to say on the match, I liked it the way Hertzler approached the game, because starting 11 was probably our strongest 11 again, like with Dapo obviously being suspended. But then the longer the game went on, and obviously the way the game petered along, you could then kind of see the manager found the balance between like taking the game serious and then also, like Luke said, saying farewell to a few players. Paka came off, he got his moment, and then Xander came on, Matanovic came on, so it was a chance to like actually say bye to these players and like see them one more time. And I thought the manager found a good balance in that.
And Connor came in and did a good job in place of Dapo as well, nearly got on the score sheet a couple of times.
I could have scored early on, that's right.
There was a few players you listed there, so a couple didn't get on. We can go through those boys now, but obviously Packers on his way to Köln, so they stayed in the Bundesliga and took Bayern to the wire on the final day, so I think he'll be in good company there. Maybe we'll see him back someday, maybe in the Pokal or something, but yeah, he's...
we'll see him back in the Erste Bundesliga and season after next.
Fair enough. Optimistic. And Matanovic came on, and yeah, it is the story of his season, right? Kind of
follied
around and didn't do much, right? But he's on his way. Do you think he's there's no way he's going to make it at Frankfurt based on that form? Like, they'll probably throw him back out.
He'll probably go back on loan somewhere, yeah. Wouldn't surprise me if it was another Zweite Bundesliga team. He'll go there next year and fucking tear it up. 30 goals, guaranteed. You just hat-trick against St. Pauli at the Milan Tour. Sure, yeah. Shit.
See it coming. And then you've got another few boys on the list there as well. So Franz Rogo, Avivor. He's the one, he's been broken leg, right, for a long time. Chris, yeah. Smarsh, I feel sorry for that guy. Like, he's just completely out of frame now, but good luck to him in the near future. Vikov, and then, as you mentioned, Xander. So farewell, thank you very much, and good night.
And then there's a couple that we're still not so sure about. Bonemann and Hutzler did a press conference, and they got asked about Dashi and Fazlihi, and it sounds like they're still in talks about possibly extending their stay with St. Pauli. So I think those were two of the ones that we wanted to stay, along with Metz, who has agreed. His loan move has become permanent, which is brilliant. I mean, we've looked so much better with him in the team. It's official now. In the second half of the season, we had the best defense, and it's no coincidence that coincided with him coming into the team. And then obviously Smith into that three center backs as well. So I'd be happy for that to continue in the next season. What do you reckon? Dashner and Fazlihi, we want to see them at the club next year, right?
Definitely. I think Dashner's the one out of contract. Fazlihi, I think he is still under contract. It's more about like he's not getting the playtime, and he wants to get more football somewhere, then he would have to. I think there was rumors of going back to Switzerland, but at least then you could get some money for him. But I'd prefer to keep him. Yeah, Jacko said he's definitely... He'd be playing in midfield if it wasn't for him and Hartl and Eric, obviously. So, important player there to the team. I think we're losing some important players for the dressing room. Xander, for example, I think, I don't know how much Avivor was around the team in the end, but obviously he was a captain before. So, you're losing some big personalities. We're getting some big personalities in who've been captain at their previous teams. We said that before. But Dashner is one. He's had such a good second half season. basically, and like getting on the score sheet more. And he really fits this Hertzler system. And yes, we want a goal scorer and different type of striker in, but I would still definitely try and keep Dashner 100%.
Yeah. I mean, like, so those are seven that are just left on the final day that are definites, but I think we expect there to be a few more as well, right? Possibly Medic, a couple of the strikers maybe. Yeah. So unless we're going to plan on signing another three or four, I definitely want to be keeping Dashner and Fazlihi. It's just whether they can convince Fazlihi that he's going to get the game time that he wants, which is tough because it's a brutal midfield to break into.
It's a good position to be in. We've got a lot of good players in a number of positions, but it'd be nice to see a few youngsters come through as well and make a stamp and get some game time too. Similar to Zad, but Zad was kind of signed and then came in quite quickly, but some who've come up through, because there's a few on that list like Rogovikov, I think, and Zander, who've come through the ranks and now they're on the way out. And Matanovic kind of too. But yeah, it'd be good to get some Sankt Pauli youth or reserve team players through. But it's not a necessity.
Yeah.
Again, great. But otherwise, I mean, we've got less than a month until the first friend, at least the first scheduled friendly, Dunfermline. So that's on the 23rd of June, I think you mentioned. So it's really not much time. It's like 3.5 weeks just. Do we try and get all of our shit done in the first 3 weeks, ready to start testing systems and stuff? I assume so. Like, they moved quickly to sign Metz, right? So you can assume they want to try and get everything else done quickly too.
Well, I mean, we've already signed two players, right?
Troy
brought in the right back from Freiburg second team, and the center half, Val. And just speaking on signings and squad depth, in that press conference with Fabian Bonemann, they said that another fullback is not necessarily mandatory, because Lars Ritzke is supposed to come in to replace Paccarada, and then they have Saliakas and Troy on the other side. Do you think that three right backs or three fullbacks is enough for two positions? That doesn't sound right to me.
They were always the first. They were typically substituted quite regularly, either or both of them, because it's because they're up and down, because it's such an important role within our system of 5-3-2, whatever it is we're playing, right? So it's very high intensity and lots of energy required. So they're usually the ones that tire first. So no, I typically look for another left back. Ritzka, he came on, he was okay, but he's not great.
And unless there's somebody in the youth team that they have lined up, maybe, like you said, Trev.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing that I would probably thrown the ring as well is that Connor has played right wing back before, so if you needed someone to come on there, especially now with like his place has gone to Elias the way it seems, so maybe that's a spot, or that's a way for Connor back into the team as well, you know,
if he's happy with that, though, because he's more I think he said before that he prefers a more attacking position, right?
Or even
the way Saliakas, for example, plays is pretty attacking, if you ask me.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
Yeah, and well, I think Connor's favorite position is center mid, and the wing backs often find themselves in those central positions anyway, so that might work. But then we're talking about having Saliakas, who's right back, Troy, who's right back, and Connor, who's right back, and then on the left-hand side, we only have Ritzke.
Yeah,
and I know we said last week that Troy can play on left back, but he's done it like maybe a few times in his professional career. Is that who you really want to be relying on, or coming in to replace Paka, who's been the best left back in the league for years?
I could imagine this interview from Bornemann and Hertzler. I read parts of it as well. I think it's also downplaying a little bit towards other clubs, because they obviously know we're looking at left back. So, but if you can position yourself in a way like we're not desperate in buying someone because this is how we're set up, then you're not running the risk of like teams just trying to fleece you for extortionate amounts of transfer.
Oh, you're a clever cookie, Gunnar. Maybe that's the case.
You should be in those transfer negotiations.
Yeah, right.
Just throwing out disinformation.
Yeah, we don't need your left back who would go straight into our first team because we've got Viritska. Screw you guys. All right, cool. All right, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, we don't want to dwell on transfers too much, right? Because it's ultimately zero idea right now, but we'll see what they come up with.
Just before we move on, I've got a quiz question for you, which I'm sure you'll be delighted about. So now that we said goodbye to some long-serving players like Avivo and Xander and Paka, who is the longest-serving player in our men's first team?
Hattel.
No.
Wrong.
I have two guesses. I'm going to go with Afisa Remo first.
Good man, spot on. Nice. Afis, who joined us in August 2022, so not that long ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
My second August guess would have been Vasil, but he must have come along at the same time. Yeah.
Mm. True. But yeah, it's mad the way there's, 3 years is the longest serving.
Yeah. My turnover. I mean, is that good or bad? Although we've gone through evolutions where we're, two back-to-back fifth positions, I think you noted down. So that's progress.
That's a question, another question I wanted to ask you guys. So back-to-back fifth place finishes, it might look like we haven't really progressed at all. What do you think? Are you happier going into next season than you were going into this season?
Well, look at trends. I think we talked about that last week, right? So last season, we were trending down heavily from Christmas to the summer. So, oh, shit, the wheels have come off. We know that Bush, Dalat and stuff are leaving. How are we going to replace them? But right now, it's like we're trending up. We've got a young team and some quality players that under contract longer term. So much, much better position. Like, unless you guys think otherwise, but I'll challenge you.
I'm going to drop a clanger here, but I was talking to Oka Gotlik at the after party and he said the exact same thing. And I think he knows a bit more about about the team than the three of us fucking idiots. So yeah. I'll take his word for it.
Okay. Oh, you met Oka. That's cool. Good.
Yeah, sorry, Trev, I didn't mention you. It slipped my mind, but I'm sure he would have been. I'm sure he would have remembered you.
He probably just, who's that guy? You met him 2 weeks ago. No, don't remember. No, he's a good lad. He's a really nice guy. He's bigger than I thought. He's like huge.
Bit of a unit, yeah. So even same position, fifth that we finished last season, but we're 1 point better off and our goal difference is one better. So definitely trending in the right direction.
Step by step,
that means
right?
In 15 years time, we'll have enough points to get promoted, right?
Yeah, exactly.
One point difference per year. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Cool. You mentioned there's still a couple of games left in the Zweite Bundesliga, of course. We can do some predictions on those with HSV against Stuttgart tomorrow night, I think it is.
Thursday evening, yeah.
Yeah, right. And then again on Monday, I think it is, but Gunnar said. But yeah, it's going to be watching that relatively closely, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I'm hoping that the huge disappointment of missing out on automatic promotion is going to affect their performance. It just seems very HSV to, after always finding a way to stay in division, they now always find a way to stay in the second division. So it's just all looking like it's, if we're talking about trends again, it's just been going that way for them. They were fucking seconds from going back up and then had it snatched away from them. I just hope upon hope that Stuttgart can do us a favor and keep them in the Zweite Bundesliga. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know much about Stuttgart, but it's a playoff, so anything can happen, and I'm not sure how much form plays into it, but HSV hasn't been particularly good of late.
Yeah, I think historically the Erste Bundesliga team has won most of these playoffs. That's why HSV obviously survived a few of these playoffs in their time as well. And now Jonas Bald, the sporting director has come out. He wants to get rid of the playoffs. And he wants third place to go up straight away. But yeah, he's changed his tune since they've been in the first division. But I also don't know too much about Stuttgart, but just like recently, I know they were in the semi-final of the German Cup. They held Dortmund until very close to the end. There was a few games in goals and extra time. I remember that. And Stuttgart played really well in that game as well. So I'm hoping that they have enough for HSV, and I'm hoping they're going to have enough already on the Thursday. I think that's the home game for Stuttgart, and put like 3 or 4 past HSV so that the Monday game is a bit of a dead rubber, and they can just be disappointed for a few days until Monday, until it's confirmed. It was funny as well in the stadium. I thought it was one of the first times I heard the chant started by the away fans, the Karlsruhe fans, and then the whole stadium joining in, and it was "Nie mehr erste Liga HSV." But then, it being started by the away fans, who obviously a few years ago they had the playoffs when HSV was still in the first division, and Diaz, I think was his name, scored the free kick against KSC to make it 1-1, and that kept them in the division. So Karlsruhe and HSV obviously have a bit of history, and them starting that chant that got the whole stadium up. I thought it was funny.
So you just need a common enemy, that's all.
Yeah, because earlier in the match they were singing "Shai Simpoli," so I'm glad they came around.
I think that was pre-match still. Kind of felt like we're at the middle tour, we need to get this out of the way, you know, be there on that kind of thing. And then yeah. I liked it the way it finished, and we were all in the same tune, you know.
It means that we've got the derby next, hopefully the derby next year, and obviously the Hansa managed to stay up, so we're playing against those shitheads as well, so it's not too shabby.
I guess we should mention before we go a big congratulations to the Frauen, who won their cup final 6-1.
Yeah,
what a result. Jesus, absolutely smashed them.
Yeah, almost 4,000 supporters there in the whole Luftstadion. I read the Bayern women, I think, won the league in the Bundesliga, and they won the league in front of 2,500 people. So this turnout there for the St. Pauli Frauen, like, well done to everyone. Well, well done to the team. Won the Hamburg Cup, and that qualifies them now for next season's DFB Pokal.
Brilliant, fucking right. I was asked to go by a friend, but fuck, I was in absolute bits on Monday, man. I could not move.
Yeah, I couldn't do it either. This is too big a weekend with the two of us and with a few friends. We went to the Wine Fest against racism in the Millentor as well. And then obviously Sunday, the game and the after party. And then I was following the Millentor life ticker on Twitter for the Frauen game. I couldn't make it off the sofa.
At least you tuned in. And yeah, I mean, we said last week we need to diversify a bit and look at the women's football and other teams throughout the Sankt Pauli club, and we did, and they won, so you know, maybe we can spread that a bit further. But no, congrats to those guys, and there are a few people that I think you said a few thousand that went, so that's awesome, but a few friends that reached out as well saying, hey, went to the game, it's great. So should add that to my wish list next season to get to a game. Maybe we can go do a women's game.
Yeah, that'll be cool. So what's our plan then throughout the summer? If there's any big news drop in, we'll jump back on and record something, I guess. But otherwise, a nice little break.
Yeah, for sure. Family holidays and stuff planned in, and starting a new day job and bollocks like that, so nothing too fancy. But then obviously if there's big transfer news, like there's a big one, or if there's two or three smaller ones, yeah, we should jump in maybe after a friendly or two as well. But yeah, otherwise we just gear up and rejuvenate ourselves for the new season, I guess.
Yeah, or we could even speak with some members of fan clubs again. We did that with Sean from the East River Pirates. That was great crack. So
yeah,
if you're interested, give us a shout.
Yeah, so I mean, best way to reach us, I guess the Twitter handle, just DM us that way.
Yeah, probably. Gunnar, I'll get back to you then.
Yeah, yeah. Gunnar's now the voice of our social channels, by the way, if you hadn't realized. If the tone's taken a slightly different angle, it's...
it's slightly less aggressive angle.
Yeah, right. What the fuck do you want? That's my Irish accent again. All right, sweet. Otherwise, how we were December versus how we are now. It's a rock and roller season. Lots of roller coaster emotions, but we nearly got there, man. Next season, eh?
Yeah. We're going in the next season on the high. I feel confident. We got a great squad of players. The feeling around the squad seems to be really great as well. Cool. Just so much cohesion, and I think they'll be confident that they can get promoted next year, and I'm sure the fans will too. I'm just already buzzing for that first match day, which will be what, end of July. Can't come quick enough.
Day before, it just seems like it's less than 2 months away for the start of the new season, so it's not far away at all. Any lads' holidays? We know the players like group banding together and going to Mallorca or something.
I think they're all off with their missus, aren't they? Like the majority of them have partners, so I don't think they'll be able to swing a lad's holiday after, you know, after a full season. So well-deserved break for them, and then they go back into a is it in South Tyrol or something, is their training camp?
I think so.
I mentioned that, yeah.
And then that friendly with Hapoel is July 22nd, and then the first match day of the season is going to be weekend of the 20th of July. We'll definitely be checking in with y'all before that.
Yeah, but I mean, if anyone has any fan clubs want to chat to us, do like a group chat, then yeah, give us a shout. We will try and fix that in. But otherwise, the winner of the armband got the captain's armband and stuff. That's all sorted.
It got sent out today, so that'll be arriving soon.
Very good. Cool. Okay. In that case, then, have a great one. Take care, guys. Enjoy the sunshine. And here's to seeing you over the summer.
Good stuff.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.